Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Is Chris Christie done? Is he a turkey? And is it time to put the fork in him?
I'm not willing to reach for my utensil just yet. We're getting to the part of the story that I think can make or break him. In other words, there's now a federal investigation into Bridgegate, as they're calling it. And I think in some ways the findings of something like that are really going to determine whether he really is completely done or not. What we know is that the scandal has altered his narrative, right?
Yeah, sure.
That one of the things that was very clear before is that, when we talked about Chris Christie, we talked about, that this was an individual that was kind of, sure, strong-willed and these types of things, but also somebody that could say some positive things about people across the aisle, right? And that he seemed to be a rational Republican. And we don't talk about that anymore. Now he looks like a vindictive politician, or somebody who at least hires individuals that would engage in that kind of politics. So, this has definitely altered the narrative. It's altered in some ways his profile, too, right? That in the past several weeks, he has a very prominent position as the head of the Republican Governors Association. And so he's constantly going around the nation and fundraising. Well, there were fundraisers in Texas, and Governor Rick Perry did not go. And the presumptive gubernatorial nominee from the Republican Party, Greg Abbott, I believe it is. He was a no-show. They are concerned about photo ops now with Chris Christie. And a similar thing occurred in Florida, where Governor Rick Scott went in the back door so that the media wouldn't have an opportunity to take a picture with him and Christie. So, clearly he's on the outs, and this is a problem. And we can see it also in the polling numbers. I mean, he has had a dramatic drop in the pollings. In polling numbers, and it's early, but if you look at his numbers in late November in terms of his support among Republicans and kind of conservative independents, he had about 24%, which is a big number. If you look at it today, he's down at about 10%, and some polls have him behind.
This
the likes,
is out of all the presumptive.
Yeah, out of all the, exactly. Yeah. And they have him behind people like Mike Huckabee. That's not a good place to be if you're behind Mike Huckabee at this point. So I think those things are pretty bad. But like I said, I think there's still some time here. This is an early scandal. And sometimes you can get past early scandals, especially if you have, I'll say, something that looks relatively neutral, like federal prosecutors coming up with findings that say, well, there's a lot of smoke, but there's no fire with Christie, and he might be able to dodge that.
So the reason this is important is that many of us thought he was the presumptive choice for the Republican Party. He was middle of the road. He could make friends across the aisle. He wasn't a nut. And now he has lost a good deal of that, and many of us are sort of writing him off. I'm one of them. So who comes next, and how will this affect Republican chances? Look, I want to talk about this, but right now it looks as if in the next by-election that the Senate may go Republican. And so this doesn't help the chances of the whole party.
So if we're thinking about, who the winners are in this whole
sure.
thing, I mean, Jeb Bush's stock has jumped up pretty significantly, I think, for the reasons that you just mentioned.
But is there any indication at all, Brett Hayes, that Jeb Bush has, in the end, who has his name always gets raised
right.
and then he doesn't run? So is there any real chance the guy will run?
I think there is a chance that he'll run. What we haven't seen, though, are him laying the groundwork in a way that's kind of comprehensive and suggestive of a run. So, he's still very much in the background. Another person, though, if we're looking for another winner, potentially Paul Ryan. Ryan's stock in the polls again has gone up. Many people consider him to be, a moderate, whether or not he actually is. I think there's some real questions there. But, this is somebody who had a fairly high profile in the last election. And
running for vice president.
Right. And is, I think a potential front runner early on here. Now, is this someone who's going to run with it? I mean, you have to keep in mind with someone when we're talking about Paul Ryan, he's a congressman, right? He hasn't won a large a district yet.
Yes, but he's from a major industrial state.
He is. He is. But, you know, there's a real question about whether, in fact, you know, he has what it takes. But, you know, he has the profile already, right? So,
okay, who else you got?
I think, you know, Marco Rubio is obviously the name that follows next. I mean, so let me tell you who I don't have, right? I don't have the Ted Cruz's or the Rand Paul's. I mean, I think these guys tend to fail the Buckley rule, right? The Buckley rule being the notion that Republicans will vote for the most electable conservative. Somebody like Cruz, somebody like Paul, they have a tendency to not be terribly electable when it comes to a national general election. You can think a little bit about Ron Paul here. You know, Ron Paul had, I think, about his highest level of support within the Republican Party is about 18% in the national polls. You know, and he had an impact, right? But he was never really close to, like, gathering enough support to win the nomination. And I think you see similar numbers for the likes of Ted Cruz and Ron Paul. Rand Paul. So I think what we're looking at is somebody that can come across as somewhat moderate, have the conservative bona fides, but that will look electable in the general election.
So I'm fascinated by the impact that this could have on Hillary Clinton. The polls are all showing Hillary beating everybody soundly, right?
They are now. I mean, we had, and again, if we go back a few months ago like November, Chris Christie was in a statistical dead heat. But he's fallen way off, and she's now up almost 20 points in the head-to-heads. Mm. And she's up almost 20 points on everybody else.
But we should remember, Brad Hayes, that Hillary Clinton looked like she couldn't be beaten by many people the last time, and this obscure figure, or two times ago, comes out of the West, and we call him Barack Obama, and he wins.
Right.
So that shows that maybe there's a little something that Hillary has to worry about in terms of public perception.
Yeah, I think, and if you look at her polling numbers, they're pretty strong across the board, except you still have that issue of Benghazi, for example, where Republicans...
What do you make of that? You really think that's something? I don't.
No, I don't think it's... I don't think there's actually anything policy-wise there or scandal-wise there, but there is... that's something that people have latched on to. I think people that...
Republicans have latched on to it. They think they have a winner there.
Yeah, they do. And to the extent that the polling numbers on that particular issue are not nearly as strong for Hillary as they are for everything else, that is, I'll say it's been somewhat successful. But I mean, how much hay can you make of that? That's a really good question. And I don't know that that's really going to play when you're talking about, you know, an actual election where the major issues are going to be things like jobs, health care, deficit spending, maybe immigration.
But that's all Republicans. She got beat in a primary by Barack Obama. So the question is, do the Democrats have anybody who could rise up and eat her lunch? And the only ones that come to mind are Joe Biden, and he's trailing in the polls desperately, and he's my age, 72, and that's a little old now. Can we see anybody who's a likely opponent?
I don't see anybody, although that makes it, as you're, I think, suggesting, a historical outlier, right? That there has not been a consensus nominee after an eight-year hold of that party's president in the White House. Since I think Nixon, I guess, would be the last one in 1960. And so, you know, it's really a bit of an oddity here to see Hillary Clinton be as much of the front runner as she is. But I mean, I think that there's a variety of factors, right? The Clintons have been, you know, wildly popular in the Democratic Party for quite some time.
Yep.
I think a lot of people believe that she... you know, almost deserved the nomination in 2008. And so if you didn't get it in 2008, we'll give it to you this time. Right. And so those kinds of things. And of course, then there's the gender issue, too. Right.
Sure.
That historic moment. So those things kind of make an interesting package and a compelling one.
Professor Brad Hayes of Union College, we love having you here. You always add a lot to what we do. And thanks so much.
It's a pleasure.